shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries. We're happy to be back on the air tonight after a couple of months of some technical problems at our Nashville studio. I understand everything's working correctly now. We're on WWCR 4.840 megahertz shortwave, WBCQ 7.415 megahertz shortwave, and also streaming from both of those stations, although you can go to our website, kingidentity.com, KINGIDENDITY.COM, and then go to our radio page, and at the bottom of the radio page, you'll see some streams directly from our studio, which should be the clearest. There's Winamp, Windows Media, Real Player, and others, so I would suggest that stream. We always appreciate your both shortwave and internet reports for clarity so we can monitor our own programs, know how they're going out. Tonight, we're going to be talking about recent elections along with coming current events and just anything, any direction you want to go. We talk from a biblical standpoint, but the politics of the nation is basically the situation that we're in and the religious situation according to the people. I'm happy to have as a guest tonight the man who was our very first radio minister way back in June of 1992, and actually our only radio minister for a long time on our Herald of Truth program. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Pastor Bob Hallstrom.
Hi, how are you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing, Bob?
Well, I'm here. That's good. You know, I woke up this morning, and anytime you wake up, I think it's a good day.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we're back on the air. So that in itself makes today a good day. And I know the recent elections, I have kind of mixed feelings about those. We had some wakening up by the people. I kind of feel like it was the dry bones of Ezekiel kind of waking up a little bit. But at the same time, the leadership, the kosher conservatives that you find in the news media and also in the political parties just are leading our people astray because they're not giving them full truth. What are some of your observations on this recent election?
Well, you know, we put, I forget what the numbers are now, but Obama said this was a shellacking. I remember that. And we won the House by a great majority of the people that were elected to the House. I can't remember what the numbers are again. But so we got people in there now who are Republicans. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm for the individual that does the right thing, you know. That's what's important to me. But I don't think these people are really going to be doing, have much accomplishment because they're going to be hamstrung by the Senate in the first place. And I'd like to see them, but I'm like with you on this thing about not knowing what the people's going on. The daily newspaper where I'm at is, you might as well throw it in the trash can. The only thing that's good in it is the TV guide. Because all these laws get passed and the people don't know about it. And the people are so ignorant because the news media and keep them away from the truth. As long as they keep them away from the truth of what's going on in Washington, D.C., you know, we're going to have problems. I don't know how to do that. I listen to these talk shows once in a while myself, but, you know, that's not enough. You're preaching to the choir. We need some way to get to the people who are not already somewhat knowledgeable. And frankly, I don't know how you do that.
Well, we're trying, but we have our difficulties. We've been kicked out of various publications, radio stations before, just trying to wake them up with your broadcast way back. You remember being kicked off the air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the Republican Party, the second in charge now is a Jew, Cantor. And, you know, we're told not to put the alien above us. And not only do we have a president who's one, but you've got a lot of them right there in the Republican Party, which is the more conservative of the two parties. You have Michael Steele, a black, who's running again as head of the Republican Party. Marco Rubio, who actually takes some pretty good stands. I like a lot of what he says, but he's still a Cuban. He is a light Cuban, but when it came to the Arizona's law to identify the illegal aliens, he opposed it. He stuck with the non-whites there. And you had Nikki Haley, the woman elected as governor in South Carolina, of all places. She's an Indian from India, and the previously elected governor down there in Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, is also an Indian. So we're getting some people who do not really have our full interests at heart and will cause a lot of problems in the future.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. You know, we got this problem with amnesty law, and I don't know where the status is on that at this point in time, but they've been talking about it for some time. And if they do that, they're going to allow somewhere between 3 and 20 million people into this country. They're already here, as a matter of fact, but they're all felons because it's against the law. It's a felon to be in this country illegally. But there's 3 to 20 million people running around out there, depending on who you listen to. And they're all aliens. You know, there's a procedure for getting into this country. It's called immigration. These people are not illegal immigrants. They're illegal aliens.
That's true. And something that concerns me that these kosher conservative talk show hosts don't want to speak about is that the legal immigration, it's my understanding, is only 12 or 13% white. So even if you discount it, the illegal immigration, those who are allowed to come in this country, they're not the white Canadians and Swedes and, you know, English, German, and so on. They're the Hispanics and Africans. And I understand Obama's taken it down to, instead of 12%, nearly 0% now of legal immigration being white, which is completely going to change the makeup of the nation.
Well, as the nation is right now, I'm not sure of the percentage at this time, but, you know, I remember reading a while back, it's been several years since I read about it, but they said in something like another 10 years that the white people will be a minority in this country. By that, I don't mean that they're, if you take each individual race, you know, in and of itself, none of them can be a majority, but all together they're a majority and we become the minority against all the people who are not of our race. You know, that is of concern, obviously. And so I can understand why Obama would do this. He can't even have a flag in his press meetings or anything like that. He's not for the United States. He's for everything else but the United States. You know, it's a sad state of affairs, but, you know.
Well, the non-whites simply do not have the spiritual capacity to understand our way of life. I know that's not politically correct, but it's the truth. And it's why God said that we're not to set a stranger, and that word is nakri, another race over us, which is not thy brother. And you can find that in Deuteronomy 17:15.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, I said I agree with you 100%. There's no question about it.
I just realized that I completely forgot to announce our toll-free call-in number, and we would
that's a good idea.
Yeah. We would like to invite people to join us tonight, tell us what's going on in your area, give us your perspective on what's taking place in our country, what's about to take place. And that toll-free number is 877-924-7722. I'll repeat that. 877-924-7722. Just call that, and we'd like to hear from you as a participant in tonight's program. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. You know, the Democratic Party, which is primarily perverts and race mixers and socialists and just everything undesirable, don't pay attention to the Constitution, they were clearly defeated, in at least in the House, and yet they rammed through, just like they did on the so-called health bill, but they rammed through a lot of stuff in this lame duck Congress. And among other things, they rammed through putting openly queers in the military. Yeah, I know you're a military man, and when I was in the military, the birthing area, the bunks, racks, we call them, were only a couple feet apart, and open showers and everything. How do you think this is going to go over with the military?
Well, unfortunately, a soldier is a soldier, and a soldier will do what he's told. You know, the problem here is with the upper echelon who says, well, we can live with this, you know. That's where our mistake is, but unfortunately, those people who are in high places in the military, you know, depend on their job, and like the general that was relieved of his duty over there because he spoke out against what was going on, that'll happen to all of them if they don't go along with the gang, you know. It's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Well, this don't ask, don't tell was actually a compromise under Clinton. The traditional was, you know, ask and tell, and then expel them from the military. Under God's law, we're to ask, tell, and then, if convicted, execute them. But,
well, that's true, too.
Right now, they'll let them in the military, but then you're going to have sensitivity training and special housing, I suppose, for homosexual couples, and who knows all what's going to go on. It's just going to deteriorate our military.
Well, we really don't know how deep that can go. You know, the don't ask, don't tell thing was, like you say, a compromise, and at least they had kept them in the closet. But you know, now the closet's open, if you will, and so we don't know. I don't. The extreme to which this could go to is, like you say. I mean, they may have special barracks for these people to live together. I just don't know. But you know, it's just a ruination of another ruination of our country and what we stand for in the military and what they do. So they're doing everything that they can. And I say they because we don't know who all these people are, but the people who are against us, for sure, are out to eliminate us. And you have to understand that the white people in this world, for that matter, is about 7 or 9% of the world's population. So when we bring in all these immigrants who are foreign nationals, you know, and the white population, I think the population growth in the white population is something like 1.2%. That's not enough. You have to have about a 3.5% just to maintain a population. So, you know, we're being bred out of existence is what it really amounts to, and married out of existence, because we, I don't know how many generations it's going to take, but we just aren't going to exist.
And, of course, the Jewish media, in their movies and television shows and everything else, push interracial marriage, so there's fewer and fewer pure whites left. And
that's what I'm saying. 7 to 10%, something like that. Again, the figures vary depending upon what you read. But if we're less than 10%, you know, in the worldwide, I mean, look at China, look at India and places like that, you know. And the Chinese aren't here so much as the Indians, but the Indians have moved in here, been for years. I mean, I remember 20, 30 years ago, they were brought over here and put in these hotels, small hotels. Not the big ones, but the small ones, pretty well took them. They hire them because they would work cheap, and they give them quarters to live in, and they were happy as a, you know, a pig in a slop pile, I guess. I don't know what you do, what you would compare it with. But, you know, we're just going to end, you know, if something doesn't happen.
It's as though those in charge read the Bible and then everything that's against his laws is what they try to initiate and push through, and they're successful in most cases. I mean, some things that I can't even believe that the American people have been so accepting of things that years ago they wouldn't be, such as right now in the airport they're giving you naked body scans and scans and groping your genitals just to get on an airline. And it's unbelievable what they'll do. They won't, you know, they'll do this with elderly white women in wheelchairs and everything else, but they won't get to the real problem of what's going on, which, of course, part of that problem is our foreign policy in the first place. But it's just unbelievable that they would allow such a thing.
Yeah.
A lot of those that are groping the people are non-whites. So, you know, it's just one more negative thing.
Well, I don't remember what the number was again, but I think he spent $26 million bringing over I don't know how many thousands of people over there from one of those Arab countries here not too long ago. It's been about 3-4 months ago I read about that. You know, so, and he's bypassing immigration on that, you know, bringing them in, giving them food, clothing, shelter for a year. You know, we have some of them in where I live, and I'm sure everybody else does that lives in a town of any size. So these people are coming in, they're mingling, and like I'm saying, and when you mingle them, it's all right. You know, really, as long as they would stay within their own race, I don't really have any problems with living with them as long as they stayed in their own race. But the problem is that you mingle, and you mingle. When you mingle, you start marrying, and when you start marrying, then you start creating bastards. You know, people who are half white and half black or half yellow or half purple or whatever it is. And so that destroys our race of people. And the colored race is dominant over the white race. Because color always overcomes white, you know, when you do that. And again, as I said before, eventually we just won't exist as a race of people, just like the Israelites, or the Jews, I should say, who claim to be Israelites. They don't really claim to be Israelites. They say they're Jews, but they're not Israelites, for God's sakes. I mean, even if you look back at their own dictionaries, it tells you that they're not. They've intermarried so much that they're just, it's a religion. Jews are a religion. They're not a race. And people don't seem to understand that, but they think they're supporting Israel and that God's protecting Israel, and that nation over there is loaded with Israelites. And of course, that's just absolutely false. You can find it out in any encyclopedia earlier to about 1950.
We're being assaulted not only by the politicians, but by the Judeo-Christian churches and actually by the various businessmen, too. The Chamber of Commerce is one of the biggest pushers of allowing the illegal immigrants into this country, but the politicians follow a lot of what these Judeo-Christian churches are teaching their congregations. I know that the new Republican senator from Illinois that took Obama's place up there, Kirk, in his victory speech, it was pro-Israel. And when I say that, I don't mean the true Israel. I mean Jewish-occupied Palestine, right in his acceptance speech there, or victory speech, and it basically a war hawk, like, we're going to go to war for you. It reminds me of the scripture, my people love to have it so. Right in this area, we have a lot of chicken plants from Tyson Chicken, and they're bringing in the Mexicans, and I'm sure a lot of them are illegal, but illegal or legal, they're bringing in the Mexicans, and I understand in one of their plants they're even bringing in some South Seas type people near Fiji, but I forget what they call them. But they could just as easily bring in some Eastern Europeans from Ukraine or East Germany or Poland or someplace that would love to come to this country and would be easily assimilatable, but they don't. They bring in the non-white races.
Well, again, this is a destruction of the white race. Well, that's the only way you can look at it, or the only way I can look at it, because when you're, like I say, again, 7 to 10% of the population of the United States, not just the United States, but worldwide, this is Australia, England, wherever you want to count. And when we look at what's going on in England, I mean, the Muslims are just about taking over that country, building their mosques and one thing another, and the same thing's happening. We've got people in New York meeting in Town Square, Washington, D.C., in the parks or wherever it's at, you know, doing their prayer 5 times a day or 3, whatever it is. You know, and this is a disrupting to the normal way things function, you know, with people. But we tolerate this. We let them do their what they want to do. You know, when my grandparents came over here, actually my great grandparents, you know, they had to integrate into the system that was here. You know, the system didn't change for them. You know, they had to learn English. They had to learn the ways over here. They had to learn our laws. They had to obey our laws and this type of thing. But, you know, that's down the hatch now, so to speak, because now they seem to be able to do anything they want to.
Yeah, and they're even doing it in relatively small areas. I know that all the news media will tell you is a food safety bill they didn't even tell you that it's rammed through the Congress, but it was passed in the lame duck. But it wasn't a food safety bill. I guess to a certain extent it was, but it's to take on international standards and actually kill the small family farmer while making things easier for the big corporate farms. And eventually they'll be pushing through more and more of their GMO foods and so on. So it, what I'm saying is it's not just one area. It's interracial, it's homosexuals, it's, well, certainly we haven't touched on it yet, but you've got the Federal Reserve pushing through this quantitative easing, as they call it, QE2, printing money and inflation. So there's a lot of destruction coming to this country in many areas.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The monetary situation in this country is pathetic. You know, there's nobody understands what the debt is, the public debt. It's somewhere between $13 and $19 trillion. You know, and this Congress, the current Congress I'm speaking of, has spent more money in 2 years than all Congresses put together in history. So, I mean, spending of money, this isn't money that exists. It's like you say, this is money that they're printing or they're borrowing. But, you know, even Bernanke said one time, I was listening to him, he said, we're not going to monetize the debt. Well, that's just exactly what he's doing, because right now he's buying these Federal Reserve notes and stuff like that. You know, bonds and Federal Reserve notes. So the Federal Reserve is buying them, and of course they're going to get rich off of this stuff because they're buying them at a percentage. So, you know, we've never been able to audit the Federal Reserve or anything like this. So, you know, they're getting rich by the... You know, every time they just print another dollar bill or whatever it might be, it's an absolutely hideous thing that's going on with our monetary system. And the more money they put out there, the more things are going to cost, because this causes inflation over a period of time. You know, I remember when I was, it's been a long time ago, but back in the 60s, I bought a home, 3-bedroom home, 2-bath, this sort of thing. You know, my house payment was less than $90 a month. Now the house payment on the same house is around $1,200 a month. Now what's different? I mean, have the materials changed and this type of thing? No, the monetary policy has been increased with inflation all this time, and so now the prices automatically go up. And so if you retired 30 years ago, the amount of money that you retired on is probably, when it comes to what you can purchase with that, is about half of what it was when you retired. So the money system is destroying us too.
Or that's especially true of retired people on Social Security, and because what they may have earned 20, 30 years ago that was considered good wages is now considered poverty wages, and yet that's all they're getting paid for in their Social Security checks. So it's really bad. The unemployment, the jobs are going overseas. It's 9.8% unemployment, but it's the true numbers, I'm told, are over 22%.
Last figure that I saw that made any sense was about 27%. But not only that, but you got $41 million people on food stamps. You know, and you've got about 35 million people or whatever it is on unemployed. You know, try to get a job. You know, I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you, but we had one of these fast food places open up out here on the street about a mile away from me. They had Over 4,000 applications for jobs. There are 122 jobs.
Huh.
4,000 applications for 122 jobs.
I know a lot of people are unemployed in this area, but of the ones who are unemployed, some are seeking jobs, but some are just waiting out their time until their unemployment check runs out, and the Congress just extended that another 13 months. I couldn't hardly believe that it was that long, because you've got a lot of people, not all, but you've got a lot of people who are just living on the government dole. They're not really seeking employment.
Well, you know, it's a shame that this has to happen, but, you know, the government has caused all these problems. You can't think of anything that the government has done or been involved in that succeeded. You know, I don't care how far back you go. You know, it's just been a failure. Well, not since the day it was conceived or anything like that, but it turned out to be a failure. Take the Department of, brought into existence so that they could reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Well, we're more dependent now on foreign oil than we were when they were brought into existence, which is back in the mid-50s. And they spend about $10 billion a year, and what are they doing? Nothing. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but they're drawing money, and they're spending money. I mean, this is money that we could use for other things.
Well, a lot of what's going on now is Obama's pushing through things in the various government agencies. And one of them is he shut down the offshore drilling there in the Gulf, which has put a lot of people out of work. But they're pushing through other things, the death panels, which weren't included in the original so-called health bill. And I can't even remember all the things that they're pushing through now in through the agencies because they can't get it through Congress.
Well, yeah, well, he's not pushing Congress. I understand that Obama has just overridden the health bill to suit his own needs, you know, by executive order. And I haven't read that information. I just read that it happened, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, he's against offshore drilling around our country, all right. But, you know, he gave, what was it, $20 million to somebody down in off of Brazil to drill oil down there, to send oil to the Chinese, and we're not getting any of that oil. Come to find out, that guy was running the drilling operation, or is going to run the drilling operation. Was one of the highest people, or was the highest givers to his election. You know, well, so he's doing his favor. He's paying back favors for that. But you know, we're not getting the oil, and they're talking about now not even trying to get our $20 billion back, giving it away. He speaks with forked tongue.
One of the few bright spots in Washington is Congressman Ron Paul. And I was listening to his toll-free number. He changes it every Sunday afternoon. And I'll give that number to the people who might want to call it and listen to it. But it's 888-322-1414. And you can hear a message, like I said, every week. But anyway, this week's message, he was talking about, among other things, our foreign policy is also intertwined with the Federal Reserve's policy, and a lot of that money that they're taking in the so-called, you know, the bailout money, they're giving it to foreign banks and foreign corporations and so on, so which just further hurts this country's industry. Now, Congressman Paul claims that he's going to try to do something in the upcoming Congress. He'll be head of a subcommittee that's going to overlook the Federal Reserve. But when you have all those establishment Republicans, the ones who watered down his Federal Reserve audit in the last Congress, it's rather doubtful that he'll be able to do a lot because of that. And he's not perfect in his understanding. He's very good from a traditional conservative freedom standpoint, but he doesn't understand biblically everything that our father told us. Certainly one of the problem areas is the he's a free trader instead of the traditional tariffs, which are not only constitutional to have tariffs. That's the way that the money used to be raised. In fact, there was an election back in the 1800s where we had a surplus of money in the federal treasury, and one candidate argued, well, let's spend it, and the other candidate argued, well, let's lower the tariffs. So you had a lot. But that's also a biblical standpoint. Christ said, he asked Peter, he said, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of the strangers? And Peter said, of the strangers. And King James says, Jesus saith unto him, then the children are free. You can find that passage in Matthew 17:25-26. The children, that's us, we should be free of taxation, and it's the strangers who pay the taxes through the tariffs. So that's a biblical principle, it's a constitutional principle, and unfortunately that's one area where Congressman Ron Paul is weak. So like I said, I have mixed feelings about not only the recent election, but politicians in general, because we need to get back to God's law rather than the various ideas of man.
No, no doubt about it. I've listened to Ron Paul before. I remember one time I was listening to him in a committee meeting, and he was talking to Bernanke again. And he brought up the subject of inflation, and Bernanke says, well, it's holding at about 4%. And Ron Paul was smart enough to say, you know, anybody that goes to the grocery store knows that it's over 4%, you know, and how true it is.
It certainly is. We're at the bottom of the hour. Would you like to give some contact information concerning your ministry?
Gospel Ministries at P.O. Box 9411. That's P.O. Box 9411, Boise, Idaho, 83707. If anybody wants to contact me, I'll be happy to answer your mail for you. The email is gospelministries@yahoo.com. And that's about it.
Yeah, well, you have a number of books on various subjects. I know we carry your book on Judeo-Christianity, and along with the radio broadcast you did on that subject. And, of course, we have all the back broadcasts you've done for us over the years. I'll give some contact information about this ministry. It's Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. You can go to our internet page by going to www.kingidentity.com. That's KINGIDENTITY.com. You can call the operator in the morning if you'd like an information packet, or you can go online and fill out a form, and we'll send you some more information about the ministry. But that number is area code 870-741-1119. I'll repeat that, 870-741-1119. Now, if you'd like to call tonight and participate in the program, we have a toll-free number that goes into our studio, and we'll put you on the board and take your call. That's 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. We'd invite you to participate, tell us some of the things you've seen, some of the election results in your own particular area. You know, I know that in this area, we're having the establishment politicians. Well, as a matter of fact, the former governor, Mike Huckabee, everybody thinks he's so conservative and all. He talks one way and he governs another way. And that's a problem with the establishment types. I'm sure you've seen it in your area, too.
Oh, yeah. It's the local newspaper, 20, 30 years ago, I called it Pravda West, but now I go up and read Pravda and find out they got more truthful information than the newspaper and the local newspaper has. The only thing that's good about it is the TV guide, because that's the biggest problem we have, as I pointed out, I think I mentioned it earlier, that the press is not on our side. I mean, on the side of truth, or on the side of, you know, the people that pay their salaries and this sort of thing. And as long as they're held in subservience to the higher organizations, Gannett, I think, owns our paper here, you know, they're going to do what they're told to do. And so the people, as long as the people remain ignorant, there's very little that anybody's going to do about it. That's the first problem. The second problem is, you know, it used to be before World War II, and even after World War II for a while, that men did the working, and they brought home the bacon, and the women stayed home and raised kids and took care of the house and this sort of thing. Well, all that's changed again because of the economic environment, and the more they inflate the money and the more it costs you to live, then the woman has to go to work in order to, in many cases, not all, of course, but in many cases, in order to just survive. So what we've done is we made a servant out of the man and a servant out of the wife, working just to keep existence. And people are so busy, you know, just existing, making enough money to survive, that they don't have time for this kind of thing. You know, even if they understood what we're talking about, they just don't have time. They don't want to mess with it and another thing that is that they understand the truth and they have to make a decision whether to follow the truth or not. And this takes me back to Israel in the time of Moses, when he took him out of Egypt. He took him out of Egypt, all right, but he couldn't take Egypt out of the slave. I mean, 3 days out. 3 days out. and the Israelites are hollering about their leeks and onions that they were getting, you know, in Egypt. And the same thing's happening today. You know, the people are basically slaves. If you work for somebody for a living, then you're a slave. You're a slave to that job. And that, we don't think of slavery in that matter. We think about somebody that's in shackles or like the black people were supposedly in the South. But they really weren't in shackles. Those people had a lot of freedom. They had guns. They could go out and kill their own food and this type of thing. But, you know, we're just bound by the system. We're shackled by it. And people just aren't going to do anything. They're too busy taking care of themselves to worry about the system as a whole.
Well, the economic situation, it looks like we're going to go into hyperinflation later this year. At least that's the prediction of a number of economists. We're certainly already into inflation and I guess an all-time high for gas at this time of year, and they're talking about bringing it up to $4 and $5 a gallon, which in itself will hurt every aspect. But the people are going to get poorer and poorer, less jobs and more inflation at the same time. And traditionally, when something like that takes place, the people revolt. They turn against the government and they do revolt. You know, I hope that the people will stand up. But like I said, this naked body scanners and groping, they're not doing anything, and it or very little, and it makes me wonder. But I think that the people today, when they're hurting, instead of standing up and opposing the government, they're going to turn to the government and say, oh, help me, government. You know, these are manufactured crises, and I think that that's probably the result that the government and those who are truly in power are looking for, is create a crisis, and then the government provides you with a solution. But it's no longer an individual seeking a godly solution or some solution other than government.
Well, absolutely. Again, I go back to the thing that most people are, and I hate to use the word slavery, but they're so busy. They're just too busy to handle anything. And to, even if they understood what you're talking about, they just don't have time for it. Go back to Roosevelt's administration, not Teddy, but Theodore Roosevelt, you know, and the coup d'etat of about 1934, whenever he came into office, you know, when he brought most of this socialistic legislation into being. His aide said, tax and tax, spend and spend, elect and elect, the people are too damn dumb to understand. And that's not really true. They're just too ignorant to understand. It's not that they're so dumb. They're just ignorant. They don't know what's going on. And even if they did, they're not going to be able to do anything about it. And so far as getting people to come forward at this time, as long as the Congress will keep passing this stuff on the unemployment situation, there's no reason for them to revolt. You know, the government has caused all these problems with NAFTA and GATT and things like that, where they've let all these companies in here that can make things cheaper than we can. You know, the foreign automakers got plants in this country now, but they're not paying them what General Motors and Ford and these people are. And they don't have the retirement benefits to pay that Ford and General Motors have to pay. So there's a real problem here. There's a real problem here. They just can't compete.
Definitely. So, also, we have the Mexicans coming in and taking a lot of the jobs and lowering the price of the, you know, the income, like especially in the building field, which the building field is falling apart anyway.
Yeah.
I see we have a caller on line 5 from Ontario, Canada. Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, just sitting listening to you guys on the shortwave, and I was just thinking about your President Obama. And it's interesting you say that they shouldn't have strangers over the Israelites, and that's true. But, you know, if you look at his name, Obama, just add Obama Nation, and you'll see that it's an Obama Nation to have someone like him as president. So I thought
that's
that was kind of interesting.
It's true.
And also, if I might have another comment.
Sure.
I was thinking about Jesus or Yeshua, depending on how you want to call him. You know, when he was being crucified, if you go back to the original Greek and you read what he said, like in the King James Version, it says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But in the original, it says, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, the reason I bring that out is because the King James Version has been kind of compromised in certain places, and it's made the Christians into very passive, domesticated people who will not stand up for their rights any longer because they think they should be, you know, turn the other cheek. And so we've gotten ourselves into the position where our backs are basically against the wall. We're being destroyed by chemtrails, by eugenics, by the New World Order and all this stuff. And if we don't stand up and take our countries back, we're doomed. And one last little point was, basically, in the Greek it says about, or in the King James Version it says that being Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. If you go to the original Greek, it says the stone rejected the builders. So Jesus rejected them who weren't part of Israel, really. And I'm a Hebrew, you're a Hebrew, we know who we are. And it's time that we got some backbone and stood up for our rights. And I thank you kindly for what you're doing. I appreciate it very much. And may Yahweh bless you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your call. And
points are well taken. I certainly agree with them. You know, there's just no question about what they're doing to us. The question is, how do you wake up a dying people, you know?
And I'm afraid that some of the things that are taking place or have taken place in Canada are eventually going to come here. Lack of free speech. We're able to speak out on this radio station now, and a lot of times, like you say, we're kicked off the air, but we still have some freedoms left. But if you say certain things, like speak against homosexuals in certain countries, and use scripture, it's considered a hate crime, and they'll throw you in prison. And Canada has a lot of those laws up there. Look what they did to Ernest Sundell just for questioning the so-called Holocaust up there. And, you know, it's even worse in Europe than it is in Canada.
Yeah, I think it's worse in Australia, too.
Oh, I didn't know it got that bad down there yet.
Yeah, what I've read, I have some people that correspond with me from Australia. They think they're a testing zone for what happens up here. So I don't know, though. I can't speak with any authority, obviously.
Well, it could be. This was the last bastion of freedom, and, you know, the rest of the world has pretty much fallen first. I'd like to invite our listeners to call. We appreciate Brian's call from Canada, but some people from the United States or more from Canada as far as that goes. The toll-free number is 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722. 877-YAWS-RACE.
You know, Brian was talking about the translation of the King James Version, and actually, he's true in many aspects. I agree with him on the on what he said on that issue, but the things are a little slid into the Bible through the translation because they were actually conducive to what was going on at the current time. At the time of King James, they were celebrating Easter. You know, and so Easter is only mentioned in the Bible one time, just one time, but the word is Pascha. And every other time, we're in the New Testament now, every other time that it's mentioned, the word, the Pascha is always Pascha, the same Greek word. So we have Easter now because of a translation thing, just because they decided, well, we're keeping Easter, so we have to have Easter in the Bible. And the same is true of some of the leadership positions that are misinterpreted. So there's going to be always a bias to any translation that's done of the Bible, but the King James Revised Version, the English Revised Version, is probably more accurate than the King James.
Yeah, I like the American Standard of 19:1, which is very similar to the Webster's Version, which is now out of print. But we're told to study to show thyself approved, and I think you have to kind of study and use the concordance and so on in any version. We have another caller from Canada, Ontario, Canada. Bill, on line one, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hi.
We're doing fine. I'm just, that's good. I'm just, I had a question. You know, I've been listening to your show for quite some time, and I hear a lot of talk about the formation of what's called the North American Union. And I'm just wondering what's in the way of that happening. And when that does happen, how is it going to change all the laws, you know, the constitutional laws, and how are they going to combine that, Canada, U.S., and Mexico? Like, what's going to happen there?
They'll have to bring...
I don't know how you can possibly take three countries with all the different laws that we have, you know, and combine them. That's like putting China and the United States together. I certainly wouldn't want to put that out.
But it'll certainly hurt the so-called dollars, so the Canadian and the American dollars, if we're going to be combined with a North American Union type dollar of some type, and you combine it with Mexico, you know, the spending power, and then the immigration will be even worse to both of our countries from Latin America.
Well, yeah, like I've seen online, it's called the Amero. Like they already have this currency in place. So it's just a matter of implementing it when they form this North American Union. But, you know, I'm just, you know, just watching and wondering what it's going to take. You know, I hear talk of the U.S. collapsing. They're the only thing that's in the way of this happening. So I was just wondering if you guys, you know, had any more input on that.
I don't know, but I know that they'll probably, we were just talking about the Canadian laws limiting freedom of speech. You can be sure that as part of it, they'll limit it. I'd like to thank Bill for calling. I see we get the whole board lit up now, kind of late in the broadcast. We only have 10 minutes left, but the first one will be Dennis from Indiana, then Jack from Idaho, and I see that we have a couple other callers on some other lines. So let's take Dennis. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Blessings on Yahweh, Yeshua HaMashiach, who comes in the name of Yahweh. Use the original Hebrew names given to Moses and Aaron. For the power of Yahweh and Yahweshua are in those names, and their being and power is as well. And if you go to Israel, you'll find that those original names are even used today. And why do you think under translated names like God and Jesus Christ, under Pope Leo X in the 16th century, that they change those names so there wouldn't be anyone calling on Yahweh and Yahweh's name for protection? If you have a translated name, you have a lie before Yahweh and Yahweh that did not give the names through Moses and Aaron. Think about that for a little bit, since we're the final generation past Israel.
Well, I thank you for your comment. Do you have a comment on that, Pastor Bob?
Well, I wrote a small book on this. I don't have time to explain it. You know, any translation that you translate, I don't care whether it's from Russian to English or English to Russian, you're going to have some problems with understanding it. And if you're going to say something in the English, you can't very well say it in the Hebrew. Or the Russian or whatever it is, if you expect the people who speak English to understand what you're talking about. So, you know, I have some reservations about that. I understand the position very well, and I've certainly studied it, but I don't know how to overcome that unless we're all going to speak the Hebrew language.
I know that
Levites, what their feeling is on that, since they are the scribes of the Bible that have that original name. Because if this goes back to Moses and Aaron, then we have a power that we can use through Psalm 91. Take away the titles and the pronouns and put the original names back and think of how the power of Yahweh can come through that Psalm. Yahweh's protection, but whatever you ask for from our Heavenly Father, has to be in the name of the sacrificial lamb that came in Yahweh's name, Yahweh Shiva HaMashiach, whose name means I am he that saves the anointed one.
No question about that.
Yeah,
I happen to use the sacred name myself, but I pray in the sacred name and I use Yahweh and Yahushua, but I do know that sometimes for communications you almost have to use the popular terms when speaking to somebody. And I also think that more important than the name, and I'm not trying to discount the use of the name, but even more important is to know the being who possesses the name. Back in my Baptist days, I was raised Baptist, I only knew the names Jesus and God and Lord and all that, but I did know the being before I knew his name, and I think that there is power in knowing the being and knowing his plan and knowing his word and his laws. But I'd like to thank Dennis because I do believe that he's correct in the Hebrew names there. And we have only a few minutes left, so I'd like to get on to Jack from Idaho on line 3. Welcome, Jack. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. Blessings to you and all the listeners. I did hear, sadly, and I didn't probably verify, but I suspect it's true, that Representative Ron Paul did vote for the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's sad to say that, you know, like you said, Mike, he's not straight on all the issues. But, you know, what's the solution? I mean, you know, voting is not going to work. We're outnumbered. You know, we've got to build a kingdom. We've got to implement God's laws. How are we going to do that? I mean, you know, we start, I guess, you know, amongst our families and amongst our kin, and hope that the blessings will shower forth and the others will want to wonder how we're being blessed, and you know, and hopefully that will wake our people up. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of things are going wrong, but it's God's way of waking people up, unfortunately.
I guess part of it's just tell it, tell it, tell it. We're all witnesses, and we have to change the hearts of the people before we change their doing. Their inner being has to be changed first before their doing's changed. Do you have a comment, Pastor Bob? I see we only have a couple of minutes left.
Well, no, we don't have much time to get into these subjects, unfortunately. But
well, thank you. I'll let you go.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call. And would you like to give some more contact information before our closing announcement? We're at less than a minute left.
No, it's just Gospel Ministries at P.O. Box 9411, Boise, Idaho, 83707. You can contact, I'm on the internet as gospelministries.com. Oh gosh, I changed my thing. I forgot that. I mean, it just changed. I don't even remember it now. But I'm on, just put Gospel Ministries into Google and you'll find me on the internet.
Well, thank you very much for being our guest tonight. We're happy to have your original minister back on the air with us. And our announcement information will be at the closing announcement, our contact information, I should say. Thank you again, and may Yahweh bless everybody in our audience.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. 741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.